right. Fellas, welcome. Your topic, gentlemen, is U.S. foreign policy. Now, the United States is the world's number one power. And in case you're wondering, actually, Russia is now 38th. Just behind Peru. That's right. Canada, you're wondering? Yep. Strong second. It is. Yep. But, okay, as the last superpower, the U.S. has certain global obligations. With great power comes great responsibility. So, whereas the USA has the strength and will to impose peace, freedom, and democracy around the globe, be it resolved that America's aggressive foreign policy is justified. Yankee Doodle Danny, you are arguing for that proposition. You have 2 minutes starting now.
So my job is to argue for this resolution. An American defending American foreign policy in Canada. So I feel like a Girl Scout at a NAMBLA meeting. Is an aggressive foreign policy justified? Is there any other kind? Doesn't that seem a little redundant? Is there a sweet pit bull? Is there? I get the idea you guys would be okay with it if we were doing it on ice, right? Oh, I saw how gentle you were with the Russians in 72. What a source of pride, right? Now, some have called America's foreign policy colonialism. Colonialism? Really? There are 1,000 Arabs living in America for every American over there. There are 50,000 Jews in America for every American in Israel. And there are 12 million Mexicans in America for every American living in Mexico. But what does this mean? I don't know. But it ain't colonialism. Franchises, maybe. Sort of drive-by democracies, if you will. Ranch or split level, but not colonial. The real question you're asking is why American foreign policy is so violent? Why, if our end is peace, why is our means so violent? To which I would say, when in Rome. Now, the real question is, why the hell are we in Rome in the first place? I thought we were going to Florence. I want to see the David.
15 seconds.
Really, all I have to say to Canada is God bless you, Canada. God bless the universe, except for Pluto. Screw Pluto. I'm more of a Wile E. Coyote type of guy. So, thank you.
There it is. Danny, very nice. Thank you, sir. All right, now taking the opposing position, American foreign policy is not justified.
Yeah.
It's maple syrup, Al Ray. Al, you have 2 minutes starting now.
I have to say my American colleague acquitted himself quite well, given the fact that the idea of debate must seem so unusual to you. In America, the slightest criticism of policy is seen as giving aid and comfort to Osama. To criticize the states, you might as well have handed Osama a box cutter or a tube of toothpaste. American policy manifests destiny, if you will, is not new to the Bush White House. It's been pushed by the generals since the Civil War. Dwight Eisenhower himself warned of the rise of the military-industrial complex in his final radio address. George W. Bush doesn't suffer from military-industrial complex, but he does suffer from a reverse Oedipus complex. He wants to screw the world to impress his father. Is an aggressive U.S. policy justified? No, the Iraq invasion was in the works long before September 11th. Here's the irony. Irony is the use of a word to convey a meaning that's the opposite of its literal meaning. Like rain on your wedding day. Here's the irony. Bush campaigned vigorously against nation building during his administration. No nation building. And given what's going on in Iraq, mission accomplished. Look at the record, Daniel. The Philippines, a failure. Cuba, a failure. Grenada, Nicaragua. You lost a war to Canada. At least the Romans racked up a few wins before they collapsed. The U.S. Army's like the Leafs. They've been around for a long time. They got great uniforms. They're a rich franchise, but at the end of the day, they still suck.
15 seconds.
Every time George W. Bush says, make no mistake, he's actually talking to himself. Here's the real agenda. The U.S. will continue to try and impose democracy around the world despite your 100% failure rate, because you're hoping if you ever do manage to make a model of democracy overseas, you might eventually try it at home.
All right. A formidable opponent. Very nice job, both of you. Great opening statements. Now it's time for rebuttal, what we call the bare-knuckle round. Debaters, this is your chance to assault your opponent verbally, expose the weakness of his argument, and if we're lucky, create an international incident. Let's do it.
Okay, first of all, you talk about Rome, right? But unlike Walmart, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Right.
Now, Rome couldn't fight wars on all the fronts and deal with their fires at home, much like the United States. Katrina is a perfect example. The Roman Emperor Caligula made his horse a member of his own cabinet. Bush made a horse trainer the head of FEMA.
Look, we're in Canada. The government is, you know, this a symbol for its citizens. I mean, one would have to go back in your spotless history, uncontaminated history. One would have to go back 2 years to find corruption and scandal. And you say... And as for Rome, look, You talk about our foreign policy, but the truth is we are the superpower, the only superpower. And you guys are a distant second. And by second, I mean 35th. So,
yeah, but the reason
really what it is, what we're doing is creating our own enemies because we are that bored. And I think in Afghanistan, we were dropping bombs and food in the same colored containers.
The reason that Rome lasted as long as it did, unlike the United States will, is Rome didn't sell weapons to its own enemies.
That is true.
And their roads were better.
Right.
And they were more tolerant of gay marriage.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
Danny.
So...
But to be fair, I mean, Rome is a bit like the States. I mean, the ruins of the Colosseum are a bit like downtown Detroit. So
nice. There is... Nice. That's great. So when you guys are piggybacking our foreign policy, because I believe you guys are everywhere we are, with the exception of Iraq, right?
Oh, we're there to clean up the mess, yeah.
You, really? By sending 60 people? Is that... What, do you guys work for FEMA, too?
Yeah, well...
At least in this debate, America is trying to export freedom. We are trying to do it. Now, obviously, if you're opening by bombing the crap out of someone, you ask any salesman, that's going to be a hard close after that. Willie, how come you didn't get the deal? Well, a lot of them were dead. You need to hope that Bush never fully comprehends that Canada is right above America. Because if he does, there is a possibility that he might park the Fifth Fleet in that bay out there, and we'll turn Vancouver into a suburb of Seattle.
There it is! Bare knuckles! Wow.
Even I thought that was bad. I gotta play the dirty American.
It's good. Just how we like it. Okay, well, guys, it's time for the firing line in this segment, debaters. Your knowledge of American foreign policy will be tested with a series of questions.
Good thing it's not Canadian foreign policy, or he'd be in a lot of trouble.
What is the Canadian foreign policy? You can pretty much sum that up in a sentence, right?
Where are you guys going? Where are you guys going? Can we come?
We're just trying to save on gas.
All right, you guys, firing line time. Let's check in with your buzzers. Let's see, Al Ray, let me hear yours. Okay, Danny, very nice, very strong, very powerful. Here are your questions, guys. Okay, on July 31st, 2006... the USA handed over military operations in southern Afghanistan to whom? Al Ray?
The Taliban.
Danny Bevins.
That is not true. We hand it over to the French, which then will go to the Taliban. So.
NATO is the answer. Name the three members of Bush's so-called Axis of Evil. Oh, Danny Bevins.
Gay marriage, evolution, and the separation of powers.
Al Ray.
Rumsfeld, Cheney, and Rice.
I believe Danny Bevins got the bigger laugh.
I think
there.
He did that get the bigger laugh.
Iraqis, how'd you feel about that one? What a racist audience. I love it. All right, here we go. We're continuing on, guys. Which former U.S. Undersecretary of Defense is thought to be the brains behind the current U.S. foreign policy? Al Ray?
It's a trick question. There are no brains behind U.S. foreign policy.
Danny Bevins?
I agree with him. It was supposed to be balls, right? Not brains.
No. Nope. It says right here, brains. Anybody? Correct answer?
It's actually Paul Wolfowitz.
That is right, Al Ray. That is correct. All right. What is his current job? Danny Bevins?
Fluffer for FEMA?
Al Ray?
He's the president of the World Bank, which
wow, you're
is
so smart.
Yeah, which is a step up because now he can destroy countries without firing a single shot.
Wow. All right. That is the firing line, everybody. Right. Well done. This is a hot one, isn't it? All right. Well, it's almost time for our studio audience to choose a winner, debaters. You have one more chance to make your case. It's time for your final summations. 1 minute maximum. Al Ray, giver.
On U.S. foreign policy, in the words of Bob Dylan, even Jesus would never forgive what you do. On U.S. foreign policy, in the words of the king, you ain't nothing but a hound dog. Crying all the time. You ain't never caught a rabbit. And you ain't no friend of mine.
Didn't even need the full minute.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Danny Bevins, you have 1 minute starting now.
Look, why do you care what America's foreign policy is? I mean, are you going to have to change the flag on your backpack when you're traveling through Europe? I don't think so. America's foreign policy is simple. The whole point of it is to teach Americans geography. I mean, I had no idea where Afghanistan was. Now I can name the neighboring countries. So Canada, here, I just want to say this honestly. Truthfully, we've had some fun here, but I hope that you guys are never hit like we were. But if you are, you can call us. We're in the book, under pest control. And don't worry about what you said. We'll be there. What are friends for?
Nice. Danny Bevins. Very nice. Well, that's it. It's time for our studio audience to make their decision. Our half Canadian, half Iraqi studio audience. By applause, who thinks our American guest comedian Danny Bevins had the best combination of laughs and logic? All right, who thinks Al Ray should win this battle for global supremacy? Danny Bevins? Al Ray? It's pretty close, but I'm going to have to give it to Al Ray! Ladies and gentlemen, Danny Bevins and Al Ray, let them know! Fantastic. Fantastic debate. Way to go, Al. Way to win that one for Canada. Woo!